You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From Shakespeare to Schwartz, from Fosse to Alvin Ailey, from Sondheim to Bareilles, from McNally to Faye, it happened to the greats. It still happens every day.
When lightning strikes,
it's the moment you know.
When lightning strikes,
where you're meant to go. You can stand and shout Eureka, do whatever you like. You'll never forget the moment when lightning strikes.
Hi, this is Gerald Brunner, and you're listening to When Lightning Strikes, when we talk about the tingly, mic drop moments that led you to becoming an artist. Zalman Malochek is the artistic director of the National Yiddish Theater Volksbühne. He and his son, Avram Malochek, are the forces behind Amid Falling Walls, Unveiling Resilience and Hope During the Holocaust. Arranged by Zalman with a libretto by Avram, this off-Broadway production presents songs created and performed in ghettos, cabarets, concentration camps, and theaters. The show is currently playing at the National Yiddish Theater Volksbühne at the Museum of Jewish Heritage. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much. So good.
Such a thrill to have you both here. Can you talk about when Amid Falling Walls came into your orbit, when you knew you had to do this piece?
Well, I've grown up really learning this music, studying it, teaching it to people of all ages for many years. I did some recordings back with the U.S. Holocaust Museum and with other artists, where we looked at material songs that specifically were created in that period of time that expressed hope and resistance. And we found a fascinating a repertoire, mostly that was collected right after the war by this artist. He was a partisan, a fighter, and a poet, Shmerke Kaczyginski. And he collected after the war close to 300 songs that he would go and interview survivors in displaced person camps, in hotels, wherever he could find survivors in Europe, to ask them what songs, what poems did they sing, did they speak to each other that gave them some kind of solace and hope during these incredibly terror-filled years. I've been concertizing this music for more than a decade, but my director Matul Didner urged me to consider a theatrical version of it, and putting it on the stage so that more people could see it. And that's when I turned to Avram to help me with the libretto. I wanted, you know, his perspective as my son, also as a grandson of Holocaust survivors, as a rabbi, et cetera, as a writer. So I wanted his input with it. And I think it's about a year that we are really sitting down and working on it seriously.
I wanted to read something from the script that sort of that just encapsulates how beautiful and the triumph, dare I say it, of the human spirit, you know, in the midst of all this horror and terror that with the Nazi occupation in 1939, Jewish schools and businesses had been closed and pre-war institutions and organizations banned. And within weeks of these closures, however, underground activity had already begun. House concerts were organized and amateur groups sprang up all over the city, giving performances in makeshift locations. You know?
Yeah, that inspired us.
Yeah, no, I mean, that text, a portion of that text comes from the Holocaust historian Shirley Gilbert's book of Music in the Holocaust, which, along with Kaczyginski and so many other texts, really were our go-to guides in understanding, you know, the context of this moment in time. But I think what that passage captures is the need for the human spirit to continue living, and continue for artists to continue making art and performing and writing and sharing of their, you know, innermost spirit, even amid this type of horror.
Yeah. So here you have all this material, and you both are credited as the arrangers. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, the arrangements are from my head. I've always accompanied. I've created arrangements. The songs themselves we found with barely melodies, just the melodies, and I would, you know, imagine if this was a theater song, I would imagine what kind of harmonies, what kind of arrangement we might have been heard with these melodies. And it was basically from my work at the piano that I created the score. And then I turned to good friends of mine, Frank London and Michael Winograd, to orchestrate the piece, with keeping in mind that I wanted the music to sound as if it were performed then. So some of the songs are with a solo violin, with a one violin. Some are accompanied just by a drum. Some are accompanied, you know, with a full cabaret style orchestra. Some are, you know, so we took pains to try to bring this material to life in the most honest, true way to the material itself.
I'll just add that more than being billed with a, you know, as a writer, I think curator or a collager feels more accurate to describe our role, my role for sure. And that, you know, the authors and the original composers of this material were young people, some kids, teenagers, folks in their 20s, maybe 30s, who lived in the ghettos and you know, in cities across Eastern Europe, most of whom perished during the war years. But, you know, they were obviously the originators of this material. You know, that we've tried to bring back to life and to share with new audiences in new ways. So it was a collage effort of in terms of assembling this material and work.
And we have screens all throughout the auditorium that are carefully curated photographs and video that have rarely been seen, that accompany each moment. So to let people get a bit more of the sense of the environment in which this material was spoken and sung.
It's incredibly powerful. And it's also joyous, which is quite beautiful.
That's our hope. That was our goal, you know. You know, as we wrestled with this very difficult material. Yes. We try to find those moments in the cabarets where they would have fun, where they would joke, where they would tease each other, where they would, you know, let their hair down a little bit for a moment while outside the gates, outside of the cabaret doors, the most horrible things were happening. Yeah. So we tried to find the ways to blend the material together and lead to, as you remember, the final 20 minutes is all about the fight, mm-hmm. the resistance, the determination to survive, mm-hmm. the determination to not stand there and go like sheep to the slaughter.
It's profoundly moving to hear it and experience it in Yiddish. That's also what I love about the National Yiddish Theater Volksbühne, is that you get to really experience this language that's so authentic.
Thank you so much. It's so interesting to me, your particular comment about that it's so good to hear it in the Yiddish. And I assume that you don't understand Yiddish.
Correct. Just the few words that my grandparents spoke over the years, right. Maybe a handful right. of words.
Yeah, it was a purposeful decision not to translate these songs into English, not to find the English words that could possibly describe this, because we knew that we couldn't. We knew that we needed to present it in the original with super titles, of course, so that people, you know, like our Yiddish fiddler, everyone knew what was going on every moment, and you do every yes. moment, but we felt that it was so important for people to hear it in the language that it was created. And I'm glad that resonated.
What would you like people to know about the National Yiddish Theater Volksbühne? If somebody were to ask you, what is this theater? Why is it special? It's got such a legacy.
Well, we bring to life Jewish life. We bring, you know, we show Jewish life from all different times. We show the art. We present the music. We tell the stories of Jewish civilization, whether it was here or wherever it was. We show in the most professional way, with the most respect for history, at the same time wanting to present it with the same production values that, you know, you would see any theater. We are determined to make sure that, you know, this theater and this and shows in this language are heard by as many people as we can get to see it. Of course, you know, with super titles, you know, so that people understand it, but that they will see something that they've never seen before. They will experience something that they can't see on television. They can't see in books, you know, or recordings. But you could see it, you know, and performed by young people, young American actors, Broadway caliber, talented, amazing performers. So,
and it's also the longest continuous running Yiddish theater in the world.
That it is. That it is. You know, it was founded at a time when, in America, there were scores of Yiddish theaters down on Second Avenue in New York, 14 theaters going on at the same time, some with 3,000 seats, you know, some playing twice a day, packed audiences. This was a Yiddish-speaking population at that time. And the Volksbühne was created in those years to bring more literary work, so pieces that touched on social justice themes as well.
What year was it? Was it founded?
1915.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry.
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Gosh. And when did you become involved?
I became involved in 1998 as the artistic director, but I had been working with the Volksbühne prior. I composed some scores for them. I was musical director for a few of their productions, but I became the artistic director in 98.
So I'd love to know from both of you your lightning strikes moments when you knew you had to be artists. I know you're both so multifaceted, but when you knew that this was your path. From what I've read, Zalman, you studied at Juilliard?
Yeah, I studied with Bernstein. I talk about Bernstein as being one of my inspirers, of course, you know, to the many millions, of course, but I was lucky enough to have personal contact with in his class at Juilliard and also at Tanglewood. But I it was he who actually urged me, you know, he urged me to follow that this course. I had been studying to be an opera conductor and symphonic conductor. And he said, who needs another Traviata when you know another conductor of Traviata when you know your music so well and no one does it as well as you? So it was that charge that kind of set my straight. But when I think about, you know, the first moments, I have to think about the moments that I was sitting under the piano where my mother would hold court basically with her contemporaries, you know, Holocaust survivors who had, you know, survived the war, lived in the Bronx, building new homes, and they would get drunk and high and sing and have these incredible nights of fun singing. And I think it was hearing that enthusiasm in their singing that, and my mother's playing, of course, that inspired me to then to try to do it on my own.
And was this singing always in Yiddish? Because I think about how you're now an internationally recognized authority on Yiddish folk and theater music, and it's such a piece of your DNA.
Yeah. It certainly was, you know, in the early parts, mostly Yiddish. But then, you know, my mother was a big Gilbert Sullivan fan. We loved Tom Lehrer, you know, so all of that material was also part of our family singing.
But how did you know, okay, I'm going to take this wonderful gift, this wonderful music that I've been exposed to, and I want to focus on that for the rest of my life, you know, or I want to go to Juilliard and I want to keep pursuing it?
Well, I mean, as I said, you know, it was, you know, I was, you know, because I could play the piano, and because I had an ear and I could basically play anything that I heard, I learned all these songs, and then As a young kid, as a 16, 17 year old, I taught these songs to children and at summer camps, and I made plays and I made, you know, pageants, and I became a producer in those little summer camps of this music, a director and musical director. And of course, you know, that, you know, you get enough excitement creating a show in summer camp, and it builds to you wanting to do it professionally. And that's basically, you know, how I turned to it.
So wonderful. And how about you, Avram? Here you are growing up in the midst of this wonderful musical household. When did you know that this was your path?
I'm still figuring it out, to be honest. I work as a rabbi, and I think what I love about the rabbinate is getting to work with people. And you know, at the heart of working with people is learning their stories. And as a writer, I've always been a writer. I think you know, the uncovering of people's stories has been central to my identity, and you know, it's what makes working with this particular material so precious, because you know, when people think of the enormity of the Holocaust and the numbers of individuals that perished, it's sort of, as we say in the beginning of our show, quoted by Kaczyginski, sort of unfathomable to try to comprehend. But when you focus on a single song or a poem and can let your heart open to that world of that particular artist, you know, somehow you gain an insight that's otherwise hard to capture. So, you know, the arts for me is a vehicle for connection.
Did you grow up? Was your dad always playing music in the house when
always,
you were growing up?
Always. We grew up. I teased my father that I grew up, you know, singing Yiddish Holocaust songs before I knew English nursery rhymes. I only later learned that was because, you know, that was the tradition that he was raised with. He was a child of survivors and in a survivor community, and you know, you've heard him describe the milieu of my grandparents' living room. I'll just add that my grandmother's piano, which was at the centerpiece of so many of those gatherings, is now housed at the Volksbühne office and is actually in the pit of Amid Falling Walls orchestra. It's what my father plays every night. So it connects the generations in a pretty powerful way.
Oh, that's really beautiful that you brought her piano to the theater.
Yeah.
And what was it like to collaborate together, father and son, working this piece?
It's a gift. It's been a gift, a real gift for me. I needed my son's perspective. I needed some space from it, from the material, and he offered that. I needed his wisdom that he has, it's been a gift. It's been a true gift, I have to say.
And what was it like for you, Avram, to work with your father in this intimate way?
I think a gift is accurate. It was, you know, the material, as we've alluded to, can feel burdensome at times, understandably so, given its heavy nature. But we also, you know, describe just how hopeful it can feel, if not joyous at times. And I think leaning into this process and our relationship of what we're trying to do, and why we're trying to do it, you know, we're sort of a compass for us in going forward, and really, you know, was about sharing these songs with a wider circle than our own families.
Yeah. You know, and I think about the Lashel Yiddish Theater Volksbühne and the incredible successes you've had just in the last few years. I mean, Fiddler on the Roof, Hal Prince said it was one of the most powerful fiddlers he's ever seen. You know, he's so entrenched in this musical, and yet he saw this modern day production, yeah, was so terribly moved by seeing it in Yiddish. Harmony just went to Broadway, and now you have Amid Falling Walls. Why do you think here there were so many Yiddish theaters you talked about back in the day that you're the longest continuously operating? Why do you think it's been so successful, this theater in particular?
The theater really was founded by people who were committed to Yiddish, to Yiddish theater, to Yiddish literature, and to social justice values. That persistence was the glue that kept this theater alive. It was originally funded Worker Circle. It was then called the Workman Circle, which is a fraternal organization created at the turn of the century to help immigrants assimilate into American life. The Forward newspaper was a part of our board in those early years, and then we expanded the board and our reach to understand that Yiddish was not necessarily connected with a political idea or with a religious idea. It was a language. It was a way that people spoke. A whole generation of people, and created literature, and created music, and created songs, and it's been my goal to present this material and present theater in the most professional ways, that people could come and not say, well, that's Yiddish theater, and make look at it condescendingly, but really to see it for the art that it is. And I was very gratified that people like Hal Prince and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and a whole slew of people who came to see our Fiddler were so moved by hearing it in Yiddish, even though there are no Yiddish speakers there amongst the people I just mentioned, and many of the celebrities that came, because you say the language resounds in such a way. And that is our goal, and that is I think why we have survived, because unlike many other Jewish theaters that have do translation of Jewish work, we do pieces in English, as you noted. Harmony was, yes, of course, in English, and our an upcoming piece that we are doing for children called Kids in Yiddish will be 90% in English, 10% Yiddish. The marketing slogan is 100% fun. So we do that. We'll do a theater piece about Anna Senish, the Hungarian heroine. That will be also in English. So we will look at pieces that will bring the Jewish experience to life in an entertaining and thoughtful and meaningful way.
Well, I'm excited to see what you have next at the theater. And so much congratulations for Amid Falling Walls. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for your interest and your enthusiasm. We hope to see your listeners at the show, and would love to greet them afterwards as well.
Sounds great. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you. The theme song was written by Tom McGovern. This episode was edited by Sarah Goodman and produced by Anna Stroud.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.